Elon wants you to work harder, not smarter. AWS and Google is ready for the Olympics. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the November 18th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Ray...
Hey, let me just carry it on with, listen, I'm Ray Rossini, and joined as always with my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. Mr. Tony Francisco, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother.
Okay, so
got that Mac Studio. He's going to have so much editing to do.
Listen, we'll just carry this through. At the end of the day, I want everyone to know, everyone got sick. Everyone got a bug at IT Nation. What an amazing event. It was awesome seeing you, seeing the whole gang. I mean, seeing Simon was incredible. Danny, I mean, but everyone. No,
your shirt was incredible. You had this shirt that Sir Elton John would be proud. I don't know if it was linen. I don't know if angel hair. I don't know what it was. It was like this beautiful white shirt with like these like silver blotches all over it that just shimmered as Tony walked. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
If you could take Liberace and Zoolander and smoosh them together.
And let's see that blue steel. There we go. All right. So IT Nation was phenomenal. It was great. I hope you guys liked the special reports we did while we were on site. But let's get into this. Tony, have you seen this layoffs.ai?
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's layoffs.fyi. Simon will bring it up. So it's a tracker for tech companies as to who's doing layoffs in real time. No idea how they're getting the data, but, they're getting the data, and these are astounding numbers. I mean, we've talked about maybe we're going into an economic downturn. Maybe there's a recession. We've seen the announcements of Microsoft, Twitter. Well, Twitter's its own animal. Let's not count that. But we've seen Microsoft, Apple, Google. And look at this, though. This is ridiculous.
This says I'm laid off.
This is specifically because I think after today's intro, I'm the one that's laid off. So I think that's pretty clear. But I'm Tony Francisco. So yeah, you're screwed, Ray. let's do some news, huh?
Let's get into the news. Okay, and our first story from SiliconANGLE.com. Elon Musk tells Twitter staff they should choose to work hard or hit the road. Story by James Farrell. In what has become a crisis at Twitter, Inc., that sounds like a Hollywood script, new owner Elon Musk today sent a rather stern letter to his staff, the ones remaining anyways. No sooner had Musk's acquisition of Twitter finally gone through, following a long, drawn-out process, he finally began firing executives he didn't much like. Later came the mass layoffs. An internal email revealed, Musk states, quote, going forward, to build a breakthrough Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore. This will mean working long hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. Wow. Let's unpack this, Ray. I've got so many questions for you. The first question is this going to be an exemplary piece of management or mismanagement? Where is this going to go?
I think you hit the nail on the head. If I can see where you're going, this case study is going to be taught at Harvard Business School and many others for years to come on what not to do. I completely understand. To me, this is somebody panicking and doing absolutely, you know, this is the pan on the stove is on fire. And instead of looking at it and saying, this is a grease fire, let me think logically, grab some sand or grab whatever you have. This is somebody going nuts and throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it and making it worse. And yes, we understand Twitter has been notoriously unprofitable over the last forever. And he may have fallen into this by choice or by not, you know, well, definitely by choice. He made the wrong choices, but, you know, definitely possibly unintentionally. But he's there now. And Elon is known for being very hard on his workers. We've seen that with SpaceX. We've seen that with Tesla. He's known for this. He is known for being super hard. But this tantrum, and I don't have a better word to describe it, but tantrum, firing half the board, firing staff, the ones that remain, trying to make it as miserable a workplace as possible. When, what is it, half of our stories, if not more, are talking about how to improve company culture, how to improve, we have stories about improving work-life balance. And it seems Elon is just either stuck in the past or stuck in his own head. What's your take on this?
I'm really struggling with this. You know, it's said that leaders are not defined by good times. They're defined by, you know, hard times and the decision made during those times. These are decisions he's making, and it's a conscious effort. Now, granted, what are those pressures and the, you know, the operational underpinnings? What is the undercurrent that we don't know of? Those riptides that really do all the damage, and we're just seeing the topical component, the executed decisions. Often the situation is extremely complicated, but the answer is usually very simple. So I'm trying to figure out the correlation between the situation and the executed quote unquote answer, or at least what we're seeing to be the answer. It does seem that his primary directive is to make it profitable. I'm just wondering if, you know, if there is a possibility of profitability, while still retaining the exact talent, the core deliverables, and, frankly, the core audience that we currently have today on Twitter, all in the same, container. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm really, really curious.
See, I wonder here, I mean, you say profitable, I think profitable, but miserable, right? Like there's a right and a wrong way to do things. And I get, you know, Twitter has not been profitable up to now, and that needs to be corrected. Zero question about that. He's got a note coming up. It's going to be $1 billion a month or a year. I forgot what it was, some astronomical number that would keep me awake at night. You know, and I get that, but at some point, usually when something is sick, when a piece of the body or part of the body is sick, it's not the entire body, it's a part of the body. If one would argue there was a problem with Twitter on, you know, creating profitability, those are the business departments, the sale departments, possibly the finance departments, possibly the operational. But dev-wise, Twitter has built an amazing platform. It is the go-to platform for non-traditional news. It is the go-to platform for real-time events. So you can't sit here and tell me that everybody across the org needs to be cut off. That doesn't make, because then you're forsaking the talent that actually brought you into this and brought you the platform that everybody wants to be on today. You know what I mean? I wonder if he's just going to completely gut it so bad that it's unrecoverable, which leaves us with what, Google, YouTube, what are the options? TikTok? I wonder where he's driving us. So, you know, that's our time for this, for this story. You know, you MSP audience, let us know in the chat, where do you think this is going? I know we talk a lot about Elon. He is the story that keeps on giving. And it may not be MSP specific, but it's absolutely business adjacent. And since we're all running companies, we're all running our businesses where we have staff and we have to make the hard decisions as business owners, how to remain profitable, but still not make it a miserable company. It is a good case study to learn from. And we're giving the education that Harvard Business will give you in the future.
Absolutely. You mentioned it's a go-to platform. You know, it's another go-to platform. When I drink too much, I don't know if that's a good lead in or not, but it is funny. There is a go-to platform. If I drink too much liquid, I have to go. What do I have to go? I think Amazon's doing, why did you take it from there?
And our second top story in the security realm, written by Elizabeth Montalbano on darkreading.com. Incident response company Mitiga recently discovered that owners of hundreds of Amazon RDS, or relational database services, snapshots are jeopardizing user privacy and posing other cyber risks. Amazon RDS snapshots are point-in-time copies of the database that allow admins to backup databases and can be shared across different AWS accounts. These snapshots usually contain PII, such as names, phone numbers, email IDs, business details, etc. In a month, Mitiga researchers observed 2,783 snapshots were accidentally or not accidentally shared with the public. 810 were exposed the whole month, and 1,859 for a day or two. According to Mitiga's researchers, 1 or 2 days is enough time for attackers to take advantage of the leak and steal the data. Mitiga added that the first step toward mitigating the issues was for organizations using Amazon RDS to identify if there are any public snapshots in their environment and to prevent any creation of public Amazon RDS snapshots. Organizations should manage permissions based on a strict as needed basis. Tony, these security leaks, they happen. You know, there was, we talked about the tool to examine code that possibly has credentials in it in a previous episode. Phil can find that with his new powerful Mac Studio. You know, we've talked about, you know, having open S3 buckets. That's happened for years. You know, it used to default as public. Now it defaults as private, and you have to explicitly set public. These things happen. The question is how to prevent them from happening. When does it happen that AWS, Google Cloud, Azure, this is not just an AWS issue. When does it happen that the major computing companies say, we're going to default to not public, and then anything you want public, you're going to go ahead and explicitly state it? Why isn't that default set right now?
There's a variety of angles to this particular story. The first one is any leak is very unfortunate. The PII, which is the personal information, not PI, PII is pronounced P. And we just agreed that all leaks are very unfortunate. So I just want to reiterate what everyone's thinking. The leaking of PII is very unfortunate. Right now, there's so many people giggling, and you don't understand what we've done in the back room, how long it took us to get to this point with a straight face. I'm sorry, I can't get over it. As you said, we're 12-year-old adults. I would love to emphasize that policies, as I snap back into character, I would like to emphasize that policy creation is critical. It's paramount. And the implementation of a policy, the process of the policy execution, is equally as important. But it has to follow the policy creation. What we have here is a very unfortunate crack in that process. And what I'm trying to do is not figure out if there's a flaw in the policy, because I don't believe that's the case. I believe we have a maturation period of the processes to ensure not just the policy being supported with the appropriate structure and support structure behind it, but the checksums, for lack of a better term, to ensure that these policies and processes are in alignment. That's where I think the real failure is. And as much as I would love to joke about this particular leak, because I can't, we're going to keep joking even after the show. It is a very serious matter. And the irony out of this is all we talk about on the show all the time. It's happening so much. We can't say that this is a rare event. And I'm sorry, I can go on and on about this, but Ray, give me your thoughts on this. We talk about it so much.
No. So look, I love the fact that it's so easy to stand up your own environments. I love the fact that the public cloud is so easy, and it doesn't, and not just AWS, GCS, Azure, we have Linode, we have DigitalOcean. There are so many options that make this so wonderful, but with great responsibility with great responsibility comes great need for security, to butcher the Spider-Man quote. You know, you have to go in there and go look.
Isn't it great power comes great responsibility?
No, they misquoted me. so, Stanley, rest in peace. He never admitted it publicly, but yeah. So with great response, with great power comes great security. So, but it's like that tool that we talked about, you know, the other episode where, you know, Phil had already pointed out, you know, it's like that other episode where we were surprised there wasn't a tool that already did this. I don't know. And this is probably a question I should ask my director of dev, but you know, I don't know if there's a tool on AWS that says, let's examine all the permissions and go best practices, right? Back in the Microsoft days, there is a best practice analyzer. CIPP. this is not helping. But CIP, CyberDrain Improved Partner Portal, CIPP.app, also has, CIPP on the PII story, also has, and we'll include that link in the show notes, but that also has best practice analyzers for M365 and your tenants and your clients' tenants for MSPs, so which is fantastic. But at what point do we put the responsibility on the cloud provider, right? If I get into my car and I don't put my seatbelt on, it beeps at me and harasses me. I have little lights on my car that says who's sitting at each seat in my car, because it's a big SUV, and if they have their seatbelts on or not. You know, at what point is the manufacturer just as liable as the person using the vehicle? You know, and excellent so like, from our MSPs, hit us up in the comments, because I know we're running a little long on this. We want to hear from you, or news@mspmedia.tv. But for now, Tony, we're getting ready for the Olympics.
I don't know about the Olympics, but we definitely have some record-setting numbers. In a story from darkreading.com, Google forks over $391.5 million in record-setting U.S. consumer privacy settlement. A misleading location tracking practice ensnared the search engine giant in a massive privacy case spanning 40 states. Google has agreed to pay $391.5 million in a settlement with 40 U.S. state attorneys general over its eyebrow-raising location tracking practices. State officials are calling it a historic consumer privacy case. The search engine giant was penalized for misleading users that they're no longer being geo-tracked when they disabled the location tracking in their Google account settings. In reality, Google was still collecting their location data. Let's just cut to the chase on this, Ray. And I don't know how to say this. Break out the dolphins. What the...
No, I'm glad to see them getting smacked down with this stuff. I'm glad to see them, you know, agencies saying, look, you're not going to play these games. You're not going to give out, you know, despite explicit opt-out options or the tyranny of the default, as Steve Gibson says, where, you know, you really don't know what the hell you're signing away anymore. You're just saying, I want to use this service. And you don't realize the service is giving away your first, last street you were first born on, your mother's maiden name, and your firstborn child's blood type. And it's unfair and it's not right. It's not ethical. And I'm absolutely happy that, you know, that agencies are coming down and saying, you are not going to do this. And we're going to make it painful. We're going to make it more painful. Oh, you're a $1 million company? We're going to hurt you. You're a $1 billion company? We're going to hurt you. You're the biggest, one of the biggest tech giants on the planet. We're still going to make it hurt. And I don't care how big you are. I mean, ask Elon, 390 million or 329 million. That's going to hurt. I know he could use some of the cash. So I'm happy to see these kind of things. I'm happy to see anytime, you know, agencies are standing up for the little guy, little girl, or the ones that are saying, we're going to protect the public in a meaningful way. I'm absolutely happy to see it. Do it again. Do it again. Hit them again. Hit them again. You know, this is the UFC of privacy concerns. Hit them again. So,
there are three ways to succeed. Be first, be smarter, or cheat. And I am so confused by these actions. It's not like they didn't know this was occurring. I'm confused. Or was there a subtlety in the errors of language that maybe there was a misconception on their perspective of what was needed or what lines were crossed? And I just can't believe that to be true.
Tony, we're old souls. We remember when Larry and Sergey said, do no evil. That was Google's ethos in the very beginning. Do no evil. And I get they get bigger and I get life changes and I understand that, but also these are some of the brightest people on the planet. We have tech companies around the world, they can't hire people because Google has raised salary caps to $350,000, $400,000, $600,000. They are the brightest people on the planet working for these companies. They don't get the benefit of saying they didn't know. And because, and I'm not just saying the engineers and the devs, they have the brightest attorneys, they have the brightest everything. I bet their janitors are smarter than we are. I bet they have the best everything. So they don't get the benefit of the doubt saying they didn't know. They know. These are conscious decisions.
But what, I mean, but how is their accountability tracked? I mean, let's be blunt. You know, Google, for the size, immensity, and the amount of data and coverage and knowledge and potential correlation of data on the back end that it encompasses, they could, it's like playing tennis without a net for them. I mean, they could do pretty much whatever they want. And if you have 40 states, not one or two or three, 40 that said, hey, there's a real problem here. What happened with the other 10? Why didn't the other 10, I mean, you know, like, I mean, what are the missing components here? And why didn't those 10 get involved? Did no one have geo-tracking disabled in those 10 states?
And where are the territories? What did Guam say? What did Puerto Rico say? Like,
exactly. You know? I feel like, you know, if we cover this to the extent that's required, A, we'll be killed. B, there will be no search, engine queue or, you know, wait for the MSP dispatch. Or finally, Len, let's just be blunt. It's one of those uncoverings of maybe the do no evil mantra was actually there. And this was lost. This was diluted in the, ironically, going back full circle to what I said, the vastness of the data that they're encompassing. And maybe the 391.5 million dollars was one of those, mea culpa. Sorry, forgot about that little part. I would love to think that's the case. But I have so many questions. And again, you know, going back full circle to the very first thing I said, which is no dolphins required. What the duck, Google? And there's a reason for that. Ray, why don't you kick it off from there?
What the duck? What the duck indeed. In our first notable mention, DuckDuckGo lets Android users block apps. Written by Bill Tulis for Bleeping Computer. 1 year after launching its closed beta testing, DuckDuckGo's app tracking protection is now available for public beta testing on all Android devices. It's a privacy-focused web browser, search engine, and data protection utility. It features search term anonymity, hidden tracker blocking, email tracker protection, auto HTTPS, and one-tap browsing history clearing. When enabled in DuckDuckGo's browser, it detects when apps are about to send data to a list of third-party tracking companies on DuckDuckGo's block list and then blocks most of the data requests. According to the company's blog, the average Android user has 35 apps on their phone and can experience between 1,000 and 2,000 tracking attempts over 70 tracking companies every day.
And in my notable mention, in bleepingcomputer.com, Windows 10 KB5020030 preview update, release with 10 improvements. Story from Sergio Gatlan. Microsoft has released this month's optional KB5020030 preview cumulative update for all editions of Windows 10, 20H2, 21H1, 21H2, and 22H2. Today's update comes with 10 bug fixes and enhancements that include fixes for persistent Microsoft Store update failures and an issue causing D3D9 to crash when using Microsoft Remote Desktop. The KB5020030 cumulative update preview is part of Microsoft's November 2022 monthly C update, and it enables admins to test fixes rolled out to all users with December 22 Patch Tuesday. However, unlike Patch Tuesday updates, non-security preview releases like KB5020030 are optional and do not include security updates. Windows users can install this preview update by going to Settings, Windows Update, and clicking the Check for Updates button. And in our community events, today at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Channel Pitch, November, presented by The Channel Program. On November 22nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. on November 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On the 23rd as well at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Partner first, manage compliance. Selling VoIP has never been easier. And on the 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch Thanksgiving Special, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week long and never release any P at all? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we worked harder, not smarter. We went Olympic gold. We may have tinkled a little bit, tinkled those news stories out into the MSP world.
Keep them out.
You know, I think this is a successful episode, my brother. How about you?
I think this is another amazing episode. The back end laughter is always the best. Talking about industry standards, best practices, keeping our community up to date is great. You are absolutely my favorite 12-year-old adult. Absolutely, hands down.
Absolutely. This is why we did our Blood Brothers pact in the treehouse. So until next time, take care of yourselves, you MSPPs out there, and we love you. See you later.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Sorry. So there's a mosquito flying right around here and wants me.
That no, man, you were just very excited. It's okay.
Is that what it was? That thing wants me. That thing is like, I am taking a, you smell like chorizo, like good Mexican.
Real. It's like your eyebrows are on fleek. I'm going to take a bite of that.
I'm going to take a bite. There's like little churros on there. Like,
good morning and welcome to the November 19th. Wait, 18th. Oh, damn.
Coming in hot. Coming in hot.
One day we had recurring power outages in my office, which is why I'm home. I took sound gear from my house for IT Nation last week, which is why I can't use my normal mic. It's right here, and I can't use it. I'm very upset about this. So I'm using this that they sent me to test out. Wait, I'm not supposed to say that publicly.
So there's some beeping going on there.
You know what? If we're redoing this, Simon, take me full screen so I can do the teaser again because I missed a letter on AWS. Three letters, that. And I missed that. A letter.
I saw you only had one letter, dude. One letter. An ace.
Oh, Lord, forgive me. All right. And I got a lot of bourbon to break into. All right.
Wait, I'm the first story?
Yeah, you're the Elon.
That says Ray to me.
Story are you looking one. At which story? What story title are you looking at?
I am not looking at today's story.
You were looking at 11/22. Yeah, because that's how I do it. I do you, me, you, and then the next day I do me, you, me.
Me, you, me, you. Me, you, me, you. Me, you, me, you. Okay, so hold on. I am contributing to Phil's job security.
That's so much work today. Poor Phil.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
This is his fault. He said he was going to edit fast. He set this
yeah,
up.
Like, oh yeah. Challenge accepted, brother.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. You have a new editing tool that's going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, this is going to be smooth. We're like, hold my beer. This is what happens when the news is brought to you by adult 12-year-olds. This is the exact reason my 9-year-old doesn't have a camera and microphone. All right. In our second top story in the security realm, written by Elizabeth Montem. I'm not doing myself favors today. All right. Our second top story in the security realm, written by Elizabeth Montalbano on darkreading.com. AWS RDS has been leaking, Tony, it's PII, not P. Incident response company.
Nope. And he's on mute. He's on mute. He's on mute. He is on mute. Blooper, blooper, blooper.
So, sorry, I was actually messaging my dev saying, hey, we're covering this. Make sure we're not the subject of the next story. whatchamacallit? USA.
Getting ready for the Olympics.
Well, it was a record-setting settlement. That's why I was going for the gold. Yeah, I know. Maybe it's a little bit of a stretch.
Listen, I can't connect the dots. This is okay.
I said I just woke up, damn it.
Here we go. Here we go. That's what I call my sexy look. I just want you guys to know that. In my notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Windows 10. I can't even, I gotta redo my notes. This is, there's a lot of numbers in this one. Okay, here we go. Microsoft has released this much. Here we go. And in our community updates on, just hose that right out of the gate. Hold on. Here we go. November 22nd at 11 Fumafangul. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Just a second. Redo. I got my notes and my glasses.